We're up here in the Arctic Circle in the northernmost part of Finland. Behind me, not very far away, is the North Pole. And somewhere out there, Santa Claus lives. And we'd like to find him. We're talking Andy Williams and the NBC Kids Search for Santa. Hit it! It was 1985. The wreckage of the Titanic was located in the northern Atlantic. Wham! Sang Careless Whisper. Michael J. Fox was Teen Wolf. And Andy Williams led a bunch of TV star kids on a strange adventure to find Santa. I'm your host, Jerry D., with another episode of Totally Rad Christmas, the podcast that talks all things Christmas in the 80s. Toys, movies, specials, music, and fads. If it was gnarly during Christmas in the 80s, we got it covered. Now, before I introduce my guest, it's time for the 80s word of the day. As always, this comes from the Dictionary of 1980s Slang by Rick Carlisle. Today's word is dino rhino, adjective, meaning cool, awesome. The origin's unclear, but possibly simply a rhyming elongation of dino, or in consideration of the awe-inspiring aspects of dinosaurs and rhinoceroses. For example, this dude is dino rhino. From Team, the Early Adolescence Magazine, Volume 1, 1986. Use it all the time. Now, joining me is a totally rad Christmas all-star from Can't Wait for Christmas. It's two-time Ratty winner, Tim Babb. Tim, what's happening?
All-star?
Yeah.
Hey, now. Somebody once told me the world was going to roll me.
You know, you should... get paid, I guess. All of a sudden, I blanked on the lyrics to All Star.
I mostly know it these days from that meme where, like, they'll play the song over somebody hurting themselves or falling over something. Like, it'll go and it'll pause for a second, and someone go like, "Wham! Body once told me," and then they usually cut it after that.
You know what? Oh. If you're gonna use a meme to remember something, that's a very worthy one.
Also, hello, and thank you for having me. I got off on my Smash Mouth tangent and didn't actually say hello and thank you.
You know, if only all podcasts started with the Smash Mouth tangent, it might be a better world. Well,
I mean, some of those true crime podcasts would be pretty awkward.
Today we're going to discuss a grisly murder.
Might as well be walking on the sun. Beep, 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 beep.
Not going to lie, I'm kind of into it.
All right.
How are you doing today?
Oh, not bad. How about you?
Yeah, I'm all right today. I'm much better now that I'm talking to you.
Oh, well, thank you.
It's hot here in Texas. It's
How hot is it?
Oh, it's so hot. This TV special kind of made sense.
Oh, well then, yeah, that's too hot.
That's pretty darn hot, yeah.
Friday, join the kids from The Cosby Show, Hucky Brewster, Silver Spoons, and Gimme a Break on an all-new holiday treat when Andy Williams and the NBC Kids search for Santa.
So we're talking Andy Williams and the NBC Kids search for Santa, which is like a mouthful of a title. The crazy thing is, this actually got a sequel. So in 1987, there was Andy Williams and the NBC Kids, Easter in Rome. So I'm like super excited to try to hunt that one down.
Friday begins with a musical Easter tree as Andy Williams and the NBC Kids visit the beautiful city of Rome.
Cobblestone Street.
Ice cream train.
Experience the fun Roman style. From the spectacular sights to the Pope's special holiday blessing, Andy Williams and the NBC Kids celebrate Easter in Rome Friday.
The hard part about this one, yeah, I mean, this is already a little problematic with him just taking bunch of kids out of the country.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure we'll get there, but yeah, wow. So many issues with this.
Yeah. But imagine going to Rome. So, yeah.
I mean, when in Rome. do as the Andy Williams do.
Sing everything. Oh man. Yeah. So before we like deep dive into this, like what's your experience with Andy Williams in general? Because most people don't know this special in particular. So
no, and I did. When you said, okay, we're going to watch this Andy Williams special, I'm like, oh, I watched a bunch of Andy Williams specials when I was getting ready to do my episode for the podcast about Andy Williams. Right. And I expected it to be like the ones I watched from, like, you know, I was like, oh yeah, I've seen a million of these. I'm sure it's just the same thing, but with, you know, 80s actors. And then I watched this. I was like, what is happening? although honestly, before I did my episode on Andy Williams, I only really knew him from Most Wonderful Time of the Year and, right. Holiday season. No, what's it called? Holiday season.
Yeah, it's like happy holidays or something.
Happy holidays. I was like, why can't I think of the title of it? But anyway, those two songs are mostly what I knew him from. Right. I mean, and then when I was doing the deep dive on him, I was like, oh, I knew Moon River. I mean, he didn't originate it, but I've heard him sing Moon River, I'm sure, over the course of my life. And then like a couple of like, Music to Watch Girls By, I had heard before, and then like rediscovered when I was doing the podcast. I'm like, oh, this, I mean, again, a problematic song today because it's just about guys staring at women. Hey, but it bops. So if you just, if you divorce yourself from the, you know, digging too deep into the meaning of it, you're like, I mean, in the spirit of the song, the women are into it. So that it's like, right. Hey, I'm here to be looked at and I'm here to look at you. So everybody's getting what they want. But, you know, if you dig too much deeper than that, you're like,
yeah.
So, yeah. All that being said, I don't have a ton of Andy Williams knowledge other than knowing who he is and hearing him every year for those two main songs. And he does other, you know, like holiday standard covers, but those are like his two original Christmas songs that I know really well.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how I knew him mostly growing up as well, too. Just those two songs. Later on, one of my favorite songs of his was Kay Thompson's Jingle Bells. It's like an up-tempo version that of Jingle Bells that was arranged by, I don't remember who arranged it, but Kay Thompson like popularized this. It's like crazy. There's a bunch of different sections. It's like not just Jingle Bells, but I was like, man, this song is actually really cool.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Come Dasher, come Dancer, come Prancer, come Vixen, come Comet.
And then I started same thing when I was just looking into Andy Williams, looking into some of his specials. There was a lot with the Osmonds that I remembered and his brothers. I vaguely like super vague memories of going to my grandma's house and it being on, you know, something like that. That's really about it.
What's crazy is he always had his family in those shows and he got divorced in the middle of making those. But they still came back.
Yeah,
like the wife and the kids still came back. The ex-wife at that point still came back and did more specials after that. And like, and then they didn't acknowledge it per se, but they didn't try to sweep it under the rug either, which is, I guess, kind of progressive for that time.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So I found that again, something I found only when doing, not this is not like Andy Williams knowledge I had on the top of my head. It was just something I did when I was doing a deep dive into Andy Williams.
And I had just learned that as well today, actually. I saw an interview. It was like a quick little interview about him. He was like, yeah, NBC wanted to do a special. And I was like separated from my wife at the time. And, you know, they're like, they didn't care. so we made it work. It's like, okay, well, there you go. Interesting. No. So this particular special, though, I don't remember this like at all. This was completely new to me, and it really didn't help when, as I was doing the research, I found that it was originally a 60-minute special, and the segments that I found online for it only add up to like 24 minutes or so. So I said, okay, something's wrong here. So I, you know, quickly ordered this a bootleg copy. It's actually pretty decent quality for a bootleg copy.
Oh,
and saw the whole thing, made furious notes today. And so I'm hoping to fill in some gaps, because when I first watched this online, Like you, I imagine, I was completely confused. I had no idea what was going on. Things just jumped from one section to another and yep. it didn't make any sense.
No, the only place you can find this is in three parts on YouTube, and it's not three complete parts. I'll tell you that right now.
Nope, it's really not at all.
And it's not like one of those things where like, oh, it's in the space in between part one and part two, there's something missing. No. In chunks in part one are missing, like in between each other and in part two and in part three. Like, because it makes it all the way to the end in part three. But like, I feel like I've missed something, I hope. Otherwise, this was wretched. This was just like mean to people. Like, okay, here's the story we're going to tell. Just kidding, we're over.
And I wonder if like someone like cut some stuff out for like copyright reasons.
Oh, I wonder if it kept getting flagged by YouTube for
those specific songs. They just kept cutting until it makes absolutely no sense. Because there's actually like a story and a plot to this thing that I had no idea when I first watched it existed. the basic like nutshell version is that Andy Williams recruits some popular child actors from NBC, and they go on a trip to try to find Santa. So and where do you go? Finland.
Which, as you said in the opening, and as he said in the opening of the thing, is really close to the North Pole. It's almost 2,000 miles away from the North Pole.
So okay. Strike one. But no, there actually is a reason for him going to Finland. Which is crazy. In the plot, it actually makes sense. So so I'm hoping I can fill in a couple of things here and there, but we start off with the intro, because I think the best way to cover this is just to kind of deep dive, and as we see things unusual, we can just talk about them, but which I'm sure we'll do all the time. So he starts off like, hey, I'm going to tell you this story. It's a fun adventure. And it like fades to California, at his house. And he's like writing letters to all these, we don't know who yet, but he's writing letters to these people. It turns out it's these NBC child stars who don't play their characters. They actually play themselves.
And it should also be mentioned, he is singing the entire time. This is not like, oh, hello, hey, buddy, it's me, Andy Williams. I'm going to write a letter. It's like, I'm going to write a letter to come to with me.
So I actually wrote down some of these lyrics there. Okay, he goes, dear friend, I recommend you get permission if you intend to join our expedition. And then this is the weird part. He goes, practice praying on your knees. Practice saying pretty please. Do anything to get the powers that be to agree to let you come with me.
We were headed for the Arctic Circle, but these young friends of mine were all underage, so I added the following suggestion. Dear friend, I recommend you get permission if you intend to join our expedition. Practice praying on your knees. Practice saying pretty please. Do anything to get the powers that be to agree to let you come with me.
I don't know, man. That's by today's standards, that's a little sketch right there.
and the crazy part, like, is it too early to cut to what happens next?
No, go for it.
So they cut to the set of the Cosby Show. Where all the Cosby kids are asking Felicia Rashad to go on this trip. Felicia Rashad is their TV mother. She does not have any jurisdiction over them or what they do. Like, because like you said, they're not playing their characters. Like, it's not Theo and Rudy and Denise. It's Keisha Knight Pulliam, Malcolm Jamal Warner, Lisa Bonet. Like, like, they don't need to ask Felicia Rashad for permission. And even if she gave it, it means nothing.
It means absolutely nothing.
Like, even like. She's not even the boss on the show. Although, thank goodness the boss on the show wasn't there, because that would have made it even more awkward. Like, hey, what are you kids doing out over here with some jello pudding?
And at first I thought, okay, so they're their characters, but no, they're not, because we get Punky Brewster and her family. So again, I thought, okay, they're characters, but then we get the soundstage for Give Me a Break, where Joey and Matt Lawrence come out, and then the soundstage to Silver Spoons, where Alfonso Ribeiro and he meets like Mindy Cohn come out. I mean, just randomly.
Yes, from Facts of Life. And am I not mistaken? Or is that her one and only, like, is there more that of her in the uncut? So she said, nope. Okay, so Alfonso comes out. I need listeners, come with me on this. Alfonso comes out. He's like, I'm sure going to miss these silver spoons. And then what's her head from Facts of Life goes, well, I know the facts of life. So just stick with me and you'll be okay. She literally bounces from the special after she says, stick with me.
She was warning him like, dude, come, don't go that way. Stay with me.
What happened? Like, did she get written out? Like, how? Then why leave that part in? Why not reshoot? Like, I so many questions I have with the directing of this special.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. But that was like, you know, like another clue that, okay, they're playing themselves, because she actually names herself while she's singing. Stick with me, Mindy Cohn.
That's what it was. Yes. And then Mindy Cohn bounces straight out of, never again do we see her.
Never to be heard from again. Yep. I was hoping that when I watched like the full version of this bootleg that, you know, maybe she'd reappear at the end or do something. Nope. That's it. It's the one and only scene. I don't know why, but okay. I'm along for the ride. You can tell it's like early Cosby show too, because, she's credited as like Felicia Ayers Allen. So she hasn't even married Ahmad Rashad yet.
Oh, I don't think I saw the credits.
Yeah.
Are they on the YouTube version? I don't think they are.
I don't think they are either. Yeah. Yeah. So it's okay. He's writing the letters. We get all this. When they ask, okay, one thing I want to bring up, when they ask permission from, you know, their fake TV mom, if they can go on this, she says, yeah, but on one condition, you got to ask Santa why he didn't bring me the roller skates in 1953. Okay. Yeah, we'll ask him that. Lady also, who has no authority over him.
I also like that when they cut, like you said, they cut to Punky Brewster, and those three kids ask Punky Brewster's adoptive, like, Punky Brewster, even in the world of Punky Brewster, he's only in charge of Punky Brewster. Like, those other kids don't need to ask him.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Like, it's three levels of that guy doesn't have any say in this matter. But one of my favorite things is they cut to the dog at one point, like, because these kids are singing the best they can, but clearly none of them was hired because they were great singers on their respective shows. So they cut to the dog, and the dog just gives a look like, what are we doing right now? Why are you dragging me into this?
Well, what's even funnier is they also cut back to Andy Williams, and he's like, well, that's four. I mean, he's singing the whole time, but he's like, that's four down. Let's get some more. That's not enough.
Yeah. It cannot be overstated that everything we're talking about happens while they're singing. Like, there's almost no regular dialogue. Like, it reminds me of when I was in high school, my choir went to go see a performance of Miss Saigon at USC, but in Southern California. I didn't know anything about it going in. And they just sing the entire show. There's no spoken parts. It's all, I didn't know that. And so I'm like, this opening number is going on forever. And then it was like the act break. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, don't you know that was like several songs. Like, the whole thing is sung. I'm like, oh.
And I only know that because when my sophomore year in high school, we marched that in our show. So that's the only reason I know that.
But I was like, wait, this is the longest opening number in the history of musicals.
It's operatic.
But scene changes, character changes. And so, yes, this special is like that. You're like, okay, well, now they're going to start talking. Yeah. Oh, keep on singing.
Yeah, there is a little bit of spoken stuff later on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But like this whole bit, I mean, it's one long song and it's something like... On Our Way to Meet Santa or something like that. Search for Santa Claus. That's like this whole opening number.
Yes.
Which, okay, the next number is Cuckoo Bananas, but we'll get to that in a little bit. So.
Is that the jumping on the bed one, or is there one in between it on the...
The jumping on the bed one. Yeah.
I have thoughts.
So after Mindy Cohn, they're like at the airport. And, you know, they're on their way. They're going down the aisle. And then all of a sudden it's Finnair just flying on a plane. It's like, okay, so they're flying to Finland. But he actually tells them a story once they get to Finland. And this is like where we get the big reveal of the plot. So okay. After the credits, it says, you know, introducing a special guest, whatever. He tells the kids, okay, you guys got to get to sleep because of jet lag. And he also says, you know, searching for Santa is not like child's play. Okay, well then why bring kids?
Yes, I have to say, when I heard Felicia Rashad singing, I'm like, why don't you bring her along? I would much rather see her for the rest of this special.
Heck yeah. But so they get to the cottage that they're going to stay in. This is where the plot comes in. So apparently his ancestor, Lars Sven Olaf Williams from Finland.
Of course.
He was like one of Santa's helpers. And he like opened up some letters and started reading them, thought the kids were too greedy. And he like just lost faith in children. So he went to Santa like super angry, started tearing up the letters. And Santa banished him, basically. So he could only be forgiven if one of his direct descendants brought 12 true believers to Santa Claus and apologized. So that's why he got 12 kids and why they're going to Finland.
Okay. How ironic that your great-grandson or whatever is Mr. Christmas.
Right? Yeah, so that's like the main plot there.
Okay.
There's all this stuff was cut out in the YouTube version. There's like clues on the way too that he's like, he's looking for this, and maybe this will be a clue to where Santa is. And it's like just completely missing from that version that just skips and jumps. Oh man, yeah. And Lisa Bonet makes a joke about you know, I'm gonna go shopping and get some new stuff, of course. Cause you know, Lisa Bonet was like all about fashion back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, what little 80s boy didn't have a crush on her? So, oh man. Yeah. So that's like his whole plot. He doesn't really care if they go find Santa. He just wants like to be forgiven for his ancestors.
He's just trying to break the curse on his family name.
Break the curse. So the,
I'll kidnap 1,000 children before I let this company die.
it's very BZ from Santa Claus the movie. Yeah, so he's there in their cottage. He's like, okay kids, we got to go to bed. And this is where we get the scene, like this is where it jumps to that bed scene.
Okay.
And so they start their song after he's kind of told them about this whole thing. This is where the older kids are like, well, we don't really believe in Santa, but we'll play along for you.
So yes.
He's like, okay, great. And then he's like assaulted by like Punky Brewster and Rudy, and they just like, can we really meet him? They're so excited and everything. And he just starts like singing his song and like jumping on the beds. And at one point he's on his knees on the bed and he kind of like does this crazy like wall. I don't even know what you would call it.
Waddle, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I know what I'm gonna get all of you. All right. I just don't know how to wrap it.
You don't have to wrap it. We'll take it as it is. What is it?
Yeah. How do you go about tying a bow about love?
Is that what we should be expecting?
Where is the package sold so big that it'll hold love?
Is that the gift we'll be collecting?
Love's what you're getting for Christmas. That's what you're getting from me. Only thing I wonder, how to get it under the tree. Christmas morning can't write.
It's bizarre. I kind of dug it though.
And the whole song is about how, what are they getting for Christmas? Love.
Love.
Like, don't worry about it. You don't have to wrap it. It's one size fits all. And these kids are so excited to be getting this technically non-present for Christmas. Like, they love it. They're all on board. Like, I've been around kids and talked about what they're getting for Christmas. That would not be a let's break
Doesn't
into
work.
Song.
Yeah.
I mean, other than the fact that they seem to be able to extend their bedtime a little bit and jump on the bed, like, they would not be down for this song.
Well, and then, but like, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, like, the kid's got to know he's like famous, right? So he's got to have money. There's like,
yeah,
like
exactly.
come on, cheapskate.
Like, he just popped for a private plane to Finland. He's got to have some scratch.
You got to get us something for Christmas.
Come on, man. We came all the way to Finland. There's no Wi-Fi out here because it hasn't been invented yet, but that's not the point.
You know, I bet Santa had Wi-Fi.
I bet he did.
So, okay. So they go to sleep. They wake up. And this is where Andy Williams starts narrating. He's like, okay, the first clue is this portrait that used to hang in Sven's house. But now where his house was, the Conservatory of Music is built there. So that's where the portrait hangs now. So he goes to the Conservatory of Music. I don't know why this portrait has anything to do with anything. They don't actually explain why, but apparently that's the first clue. So he's going to see that.
Does it have a map on it? Like the back of the Declaration of Independence?
we're gonna steal the portrait.
I'm more of a Santa protector.
It's funny because last night I just did a show on National Treasure. I was a guest on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So works out perfect.
Those movies are better than they have any right to be.
Agreed. Yes. I completely agree. But apparently, because Santa banished him, he had he didn't have very many skills. So he went into politics. And like, okay, I get it. He eventually made his way into this portrait that hangs in this place. And so as he's going in, he hears the Helsinki Children's Strings. So it's just like a Helsinki string orchestra from Finland there. And he listens to them play something from, I think it's Jan Sibelius, his Andante Festivo. And he starts talking to the conductor. And the conductor is like, oh yeah, you know, we play different things. We even play some Christmas songs because it's Christmas time. And he's like, oh, I sing. And so of course, perfect opportunity for do you hear what I hear? And so it's just typical Andy Williams singing kind of thing. So
okay,
all that
this
really
part,
not
super, kids, not on YouTube.
Not on YouTube. Yeah. Yep.
Not
you
even
can
the
search
song.
For it. It's not anywhere. If I get the chance to dig up my old desktop, maybe I'll digitize this bootleg copy.
Ooh, scandalous.
But you didn't hear that from me. But yeah, so he sings, do you hear what I hear? And the conductor, I guess, is so impressed that he invites them to that Christmas party, which is like that next cut.
Okay. Is this where Alfonso does a little tap dance?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But there's actually, of course, more before that.
Of course.
Of course there is. Yeah. So he mentions, of course, in voiceover that they all go shopping and they get some slick new outfits and get all dolled up. And as they're at the party, there's some native Laplanders that the conductor says can help them find Santa's place. They live up there much further north. They know a lot of that area. So he's like, all right, cool. Let's check it out. And so, of course, we get the cute little joke about Punky Brewster saying, you know, well, you know, we better find Santa because otherwise my dog won't forgive me for leaving him for so long. Whatever. You gotta have the joke. There's some cool like dancing, traditional folk dancing that the Laplanders do. And then there's like a cool, again, interaction. This is all like just musical dancing stuff. There's no real plot to it, but the Helsinki Children's Choir sing Jingle Bells in Finnish. And as soon as they're done, the NBC kids sing like a funky version of Jingle Bells with like percussion breaks and jazz dancing and all sorts of things. Like, okay, we'll show you up. Like,
show you how the Americans of the 80s do it.
America.
Hey, gang, let's show them our version of Jingle Bells.
This is a strange part. So Andy Williams, he, you know,
this is the strange part.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
heavens.
He goes and he like sits down, excuse me. He sits down at the table. He's got like Rudy and I forgot the name of the little girl from Punky Brewster, not Punky, her friend. I think it's like Marsha or something like that.
Yeah,
I have
no idea who that is either.
So like they're sitting on his lap and he just starts singing.
Yes. I was trying to tell my family about this too.
So they sit on his lap. He just starts singing like White Christmas.
Yes, White Christmas.
And Most Wonderful Time of the Year, like together.
Which are two songs that do not mash up together.
They don't go at all. No, they don't. But as he's doing it, he's imagining it cuts to like him outside with like the Laplanders and they're building snowmen and they're like making a stew.
Oh, is that who those were? I thought it was just a random wintry scene, like the, like he's done in his other specials, where they'll just be like, here, cut to Andy Williams singing in like this outdoor gazebo when it's snowing and there's other people there. Like, that's what it seemed like. Oh, let's just throw back to his other specials. I didn't know it was also part of what we've been seeing.
And it could have been, but it's like these dancers, and they're, it's as if he's there spending like time just with these dancers doing their thing, but yeah. He's still there physically at the party. So this is just all in his imagination now. And there's like,
I wonder if they just got, by, so. They got pretty far into it and like, wait, we haven't worked in Most Wonderful Time of the Year yet. We'll just put in a dream sequence. A dream sequence. What? You'll be singing a song. You'll sing White Christmas, and then that will flash forward. That will flash to a dream sequence of you singing Most Wonderful Time of the Year. How does anything that you just said make sense? Trust me. Trust me. We'll fix it in post. It'll all be beautiful.
We'll workshop it. It's okay. We'll fix it. Fix it in post. Nope. Nothing. It just all of a sudden it fades out, and he's just sitting there again with the two little girls on his lap singing his songs at the party. It's the weirdest thing. But like, when I saw them, the first thing I thought of was like, they look like they're wearing the outfits from like Frozen and Klaus or Klaus or whatever that Netflix movie was. Yeah. It's like, okay, I recognize these folks now. So, yeah. But they get back to the party, and I gotta say, I actually kind of like the decorations at the party. The tree is decorated with like real candles, so you know, super fire hazard. So old school there. But yeah, it was just real nice. So this is where there's more dancing, and they do like one of those round dances where, you know, like the outer circle moves one way, the inner circle moves another way, and everybody else is in the middle. And they do that to Sleigh Ride, and that's when Alfonso, after everybody's done dancing, he kind of just like takes off, you know, and it's just like, hey, Carlton's dancing, cool.
And like tap dancing.
Tapping. And he like taps the heck out of it too. Like, I was pretty impressed because I can't tap to save my life.
I did it for 1 year as a kid. And yeah, I'm not great at it.
Gotcha. Yeah. So then, and then they all like get back together and they finish with Jingle Bells. Okay. So this is like the second commercial break or whatever. There's little credits on there.
They finish with Jingle Bells because they're in Finland.
That's actually one of the jokes he says earlier.
Of course
on.
It is. You can't leave that on the table. You got to use it.
It's right there. It's right there. Yeah. So yeah, the second commercial break, when they come back again, there's like no SAG. You don't see any of this. It's just voiceover. So it's like, I think I would have rather like actually seen this, man. But he says one of the locals suggested going to this old 17th century church because like what he needed was prayer at this point, if he was going to find Santa Claus. So he's like, well, where do you go when you pray? To church. So he goes to this church, and that Helsinki Children's Choir, they're rehearsing again for their Christmas Eve service. And so he's like, you know, listening to him, and he says, hey, rumor is that when you guys sing, Santa comes and like stops outside the church and like just listens to y'all, you know, so is it okay if you just keep singing so that maybe I can catch him? And so they sing like I think they sing Silent Night and finish, and then they all sing Silent Night together in English. After another commercial break, he goes out and he says, well, I didn't see Santa there, but I did find a letter to Santa that he must have dropped. And so it got me thinking, you know, who knows where Santa lives? Well, the post office. So I got to go find a Finnish postman that delivers to Santa. There's a lot of, it's very Rise of Skywalker. Go find this. Okay. Go find this.
Oh, but this really does. If you only watch the YouTube, you are really filling in the blanks. Cause it's like,
yeah.
What are they doing? Like, cause I think the next thing we see is them just like traipsing around in the snow in their sled.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly the next thing you see. In this case, they actually go, they find this post worker that like delivers the mail to Santa.
And is he's it like, Cliff Clavin from Cheers?
Oh, that would have been like,
he's
awesome.
On NBC. What are you, again, NBC, leaving money on the table.
Like right there for the taking, guys.
Yeah, a little known fact there, Santa Claus is there.
Finland isn't actually, it's 2,000 miles from the North Pole, but it's only 4,000 miles if you, I don't know. I got nothing. So they talk with this guy, he says, you know, they offer to help him. They're like, look, we'll help you out. We need to talk to Santa. We got to find him. He's like, no, nobody's allowed to help me. Nobody's allowed to go up to Santa's, because years ago, this one dude read the mail, got mad about what the kids were saying, thought they were too selfish toward him. So basically, he's like, and this guy's name was Lars Sven Olaf Williams. And so, of course, they all say it at the same time. He's like, oh, you know him. He's like, you know, maybe. something ridiculous like that. You know, one of those jokes. The guy's like, well, I got to go. Santa needs these letters. It's his busy time of year. He gets on a snowmobile and rides off. And they're like, well, we can't help him. But he didn't say anything about not following him. So they all just get on like their dog sleds and their skis and snowshoes and whatever else. And they just start following this guy riding on the snowmobile all the way to Santa's house. And this is where it cuts to that YouTube part where now it's like part three and they're actually there at Santa's house. So that's how they find Santa's house. They just follow the snowman.
As you do.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. Follow the mailman, who only apparently has one route to deliver to, just Santa's house.
Ask SD Kluger. He'll tell you. Yeah. So they get there. And then this is, again, I love the chase, because before they get there, there's like a Benny Hill style, you know, super fast. You know, they get there, and this is the odd part, because what's his name? Andy Williams is like, okay, let me go in first. But here's the plan. And he gives them like all these, he sings them all these crazy directions.
Okay. But like,
tip my hat, he's not wearing a hat.
If I tip my hat, he's not wearing a hat.
He's not wearing a hat.
I was like, where was props? Why did somebody not go, cut, Andy, you forgot your hat?
Andy. You need your hat, man. Your song's not going to make any sense here.
And he's like, they're standing feet from the door, and they're doing this plan. Like, okay, if there's a monster or if this, or then I'll give you this code. It's like, just walk. It's right there. There's
just
no
knock on the door and go in.
The time for planning was all before all the shenanigans in the forest and the snow. Like, now is the time for action. We're here.
Now you all wait here while I head over there. When I reach the house, I will shoot up a flare. Better still, I'll signal by removing my hat. You'll know when you see me do that. That we pass the first perimeter, the outer rim defenses. And that is when Plan 27 double G commences. To make this most efficient and to see the mission through, each and every one of you must do what I taught you to do.
Oh, man. So he's like, all right, I'm going to go in first, you know, watch this, because if I do this, then you guys got to move that way. Of course, he doesn't say like where, he's just like, go that way. You guys go that way. It's like, well, what, they're going to surround him or circle in the wagons or something? I don't know.
We got the building surrounded, Santa. Yeah.
Come out. Yeah. So he goes in, the door like locks behind him, and he tries, he's like, it won't open, but.
He gives the most feeble attempt to try that door. Like, I pulled at it slightly for more than half a second, and it won't open. I guess it's closed forever. I guess, kids, you have to stay in the snow until you die. Bye.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Yeah, he's like in this nice, warm, cozy house, and the kids are like freezing outside.
And you can see them like through the window. They're like banging on the door. Like, please, please. I'm on an NBC sitcom, and I'm freezing.
He's got to go get uncursed, man. Nothing takes precedence over that. So yeah, so he goes in, there's a room with some presents with familiar faces or familiar names on it. It's a charming room. And then he doesn't see anything, so he goes to the next room, which is even more charming, and there's even more presents. It's like, all right, guys, like, new adjectives. Come on.
I think they just wanted a second set so the kids wouldn't have to be in shot for the whole
next
exactly
part. That's exactly why. Yeah. Yep. Kids are still in frame.
And I have to describe how this next part is for YouTube when we're done describing this song. Like, so before we move on to what actually happens in the unedited special, like, it is so crazy how it goes for YouTube, but for right now, so he's in the second room, and.
Okay. So he's in the second room. He sees Santa's hat, which is comically large. It's like, no one has a hat that big. It's big. It's not fit a human head.
It's like if Santa was like one of those college mascots, like yeah, then yes, that exactly. hat would fit.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's yep. the Alabama fighting Santas. I don't know why I picked Alabama. Don't write in. It was just
Alaska. I guess Alaska would be
Alaska
like the
would probably be the best one.
Yeah. So he finds a hat. He turns around. There's Santa, except we're like seeing Santa's point of view. So it's like he's yes. singing to us, yes. even though he's singing to Santa.
It's like, it's just so super awkward. Like, am it's I Santa? Do you awkward. Want me to do what you ask him, Andy? I mean, sure. I'm just sitting here watching this. I was not informed I would have to be involved.
Yeah. Am I getting like, what kind of pay am I getting here?
Exactly.
So we're supposed to be, you know, quote unquote Santa here as he's singing. We see he gives us the hat and we like reach out our gloved mm-hmm. hand to grab the hat. And he sings, the song is called The Plea to Santa Claus. And he's like, you know, please undo this curse and whatever, whatever. And
does he say anything about the curse? Because I feel like he just
no,
says
he doesn't really say
really...
the curse.
It's, okay, because like on the YouTube vision, like I still didn't know anything about the curse. And I listened yeah. to the song. I'm like, he really wants Santa to meet these kids, and he's very about, urgent about it.
Yeah, it's more about the kids meeting Santa. Yeah,
but now that I understand the backstory of the curse, I understand the emotion behind the song. But on YouTube, it's just like you are really invested in these random 12 celebrities meeting Santa Claus.
These random kids you have zero connection to meeting Santa.
That you're just random pen pals with because you happen to know somebody at NBC.
Because they want their ratings.
Exactly.
You don't know me, but I know you. And all my little friends, they believe in you too. We've traveled very far to reach this place. And they'd all be thrilled if they could see your face.
Yeah, so he says, you know, please, these kids want to meet you. And then he gives Santa his pipe. And then afterwards, he's like, oh, by the way, my ancestor was, you know, Sven, whatever, whatever. Can you please remove this curse? I've got 12 true believers here. And then this is like the best cheesy TV 1985 special effects. The screen spins. You see Santa's chair and it kind of like, the little mini firework, like explodes kind of a thing. And then Santa's gone. There's like smoke and Santa's gone. There's just nothing there.
Oh, wait. Okay. So before
only the pipe is left.
So, but before that, so that part is not in the YouTube clip. So
no.
we watch Andy Williams sing this impassioned song to Santa. He stands up. Looks like he's going to walk out of the room, turns back as if to say something. Cut. It's Andy Williams. Well, thanks for watching the special, everybody. I was like, that's it. Did the kids meet Santa? Did the kids go home? What happened? We just cut straight from you being locked in a room with Santa to, well, have a good Christmas and a happy new year.
Ultimate troll
hey,
move.
Hope you're all good to each other. All right. Andy Williams, someone pick up the bodies of those kids out there in the snow.
Andy Williams out.
Wait, what?
That surprised me too. I was like, wait, okay. Like, there's got to be more, right? Like, there's a part four or something I'm missing.
Yeah, I'm like, nope. Where is it? Did it get removed?
Nope. It, yeah, it's this weird thing where like Santa explodes. All that's left is like a pipe on the chair. And so he goes to let the kids in. Because he finally realizes, oh yeah, they're freezing out in the cold. So they all come in, they see the presents with their names on it. All the kids, you know, they're like, where's Santa? He's like, oh, he's not here. Like, well, did you get to see him? Did you meet him? He's like, yeah, I talked with him, everything's cool. And so he starts handing out the presents. And everybody except the three oldest get something. And they're like, well, where's ours? He's like, I guess, you know, Santa knew you weren't true believers. And so then Malcolm Jamal Warner is like, well, you know, I've been thinking about that. And after everything we've kind of been through this last couple of days, I mean, I think I'm really starting to believe in it. And the other two, you know, Denise and Carlton are also like, yeah, we are too. Yeah. And so he's like, well, I don't know. Maybe if you, maybe Santa can hear and we'll see what's going on. And so we hear Santa like ho, ho, hoing outside. And you hear on Dasher, on Dancer. They run outside and they find a big golden box. And it's got like the last presents for them, the big kids. But their present is that he's going to give gifts to 1,000 poor children in their names. So, so, you know, that's what you get, Scrooges.
Let me guess, they're actually happy about it in the special, though?
Of course. Yeah,
of course.
Well, there's also
I got a present of love. Now Santa's giving presents on my behalf. This is just what I hope for.
The best Christmas ever. Best Christmas ever. Well, there is a card, and they open up the card, and it says, P.S., all is forgiven for Lars.
Oh, well, that's good.
So, yeah. So, and then Punky Brewster says, and as Tiny Tim used to say, God bless us, everyone. And everybody laughs. But then Rudy says, who's Tiny Tim? And that's when it cuts to, you know, everybody, Andy Williams there saying, well, that was our adventure. And so there's actually a story here. It's a bizarre story, but... And then,
Get to see Santa Claus before he explodes?
You never actually get to see him. Although you get to see like his silhouette with the sleigh and reindeer being pulled. So you see the silhouette, okay, but you never see him. Yeah.
It's like almost worse than Rise of Skywalker, where like, you know, you're trying to see Luke Skywalker, not Rise of Skywalker, Force Awakens. The entire movie is like, okay, we're going to go see Luke. We're going to see Luke. We found Luke. Credits. This is like, we're going to see Santa. We're going to see Santa. You never see Santa.
Never. Yeah, it's the strangest thing.
It turns out Santa was inside you all along.
He must be, because Andy Williams is singing to me.
Exactly.
Although I think I can now check off the box of you know, that I have lived a full life because Andy Williams has now sung to me. This special was directed by Dwight Hemian, who also directed the Amy Grant Christmas special from 1986. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Strange. And there's another one that he did. But the writer was Buzz Cohen, or also named Alan Cohen. And the composers were Ian Fraser and Larry Grossman. Now, if those names sound familiar to anybody, it's because those guys were the composers of the Little Drummer Boy Peace on Earth medley that Bing Crosby and David Bowie sang.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's, and they've done a few other things, but in fact, the editor, Mark West, who I actually reached out to Mark West. I think it was too little, too late. I really wanted to get his, I was hoping he could join us, because I think that'd be so much fun, just trying to make heads or tails of it.
Yes.
But yeah, it's definitely too little, too late. So I asked him, you know, hey, what was it like working on the special? You know, all sorts of things. But hopefully I'll hear back from him and I can do a follow-up episode here.
Well, hopefully he doesn't hear this. Just remember, the opinions of Tim Babb do not represent Totally Rad Christmas.
I mean, it's a very charming special. It really is, even though it is,
yes,
strange.
It's, yeah, it's very crazy, but also enjoyable. So it's, yes, being a Star Trek fan, I've always grown up being able to, you know, make jokes about something I truly legitimately enjoy, like,
yes,
just take it apart but enjoy it immensely.
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah, so this is strange. Mark West, though, the editor, actually wrote the very first episode of Hawkeye.
Oh, so,
yeah, he's also a writer, so that's kind of cool.
For some reason, I immediately thought you meant the character from MASH. I was like, wait, he didn't have his own spinoff. Oh, you mean Hawkeye, the Disney
Hawkeye,
Plus show.
Yeah. The Christmas one, yeah.
Oh, well, that's...
He also edited that Amy Grant special and a couple of other Christmas specials. So it's like, oh, okay, cool. These guys just, I guess, liked Christmas because they did a lot of these types of shows here. So
it's good to see he's still got his feet in the Christmas game.
Yeah.
Even right as of last year.
Yeah. Strangest thing, but okay. So that was that was a special. Having watched the full version, it makes more sense, but that abridged version is actually, you know, if you want like just weirdness for a day, you know, just go watch those.
But like, we'll, you get a little happens. Christmas and a little bit of what? What's happening?
If you want to feel like you've had a stroke, but it does make me wonder, what would you say would be your happiest memory? Well, I guess we don't really have memories, but moment of this special.
There was one part that literally made me laugh out loud, and I had to pause it and then rewind it so I could go back, but not in a, like, they were trying to make me laugh on purpose kind of way. I think it might've been the dog. I think on an audio podcast, I can't describe it, but the dog, like, the kids are just sort of warbling at the dad from, or not the dad. Well, yeah, the dad from Punky Brewster, and the dog just picks his head up like, what? It's like, it's such a funny cut in. Like, I don't know what they were like. Clearly they were cutting around something. It wasn't like, oh, we need the dog reaction right now because we need to know what he's feeling. So they were cutting around. They're like, we just need to put an insert of the dog. And so the dog's head just pops up, but it's not a pop up like, hey, I'm really enjoying this. It really has, the dog has a look like, huh? Like, ruh, ruh. What's going on here?
That's good. I mean, for me, because I also have like zero nostalgia for this. I think it would probably just be seeing the Cosby kids with their mom. That is, no, you know what? It's Andy Williams waddling on his knees on the bed. Yeah, that's got to be it. But okay, two quick questions before we move on to the next bits. If you could be in this special, like in any way, shape, or form, replace a kid or replace Andy Williams or whatever, who would you be and why?
I feel like I might want to be the postman.
Right? He knows Santa.
Yeah, and like, I don't have to sing, right? Or unless the postman does sing.
Nope, he does not sing.
Oh, sorry. Because in other movies, the postman always sings twice. Oh, that's Rings. Never mind.
Ring sings, you know. But he'll be here all week, folks.
Hey, oh, good night, everybody.
Don't forget to tip your waitress.
Rather be.
Yeah, I think for me, I think I'd want to be one of the Cosby kids because it always seemed pretty cool to have you know, Felicia Rashad as like your mom.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Okay, now my second question, if you could put Superman in this, where would you put him and why?
I think, I'm sorry to go to the same well twice, but I think it'd be super funny if he was the postman, like the Fortress of Solitude also doubled as a post office. I mean, I know it's Finland, so it's not technically the North Pole where the Fortress of Solitude is, but that, you know, that would canonically make it work because Fortress of Solitude would be near the North Pole.
Right.
That would be so funny. And then they have to try and keep up with Superman as he's going to Santa, which would be way harder.
Come on, kids. Just follow me.
They'd have to like involve the Flash or something to keep up with him because, you know, he's Superman.
He went that way? Okay. What if Santa's workshop were in the Fortress of Solitude?
Oh, that would be
who better to guard it than Superman? I think it would be funny seeing Superman tap dance. I'd like to put him tap dancing with Carlton. Oh.
When you have a good idea, you have a good idea. Just seeing the red cape flow around as he's spinning.
I'm telling you.
Oh, man. He does the big finish and cracks the floor.
Everybody just kind of shakes.
It causes an avalanche. Oh, sorry, everybody.
Oh, man. But that does bring me to my favorite part of the show, which is a little segment I like to call Gag Me with a Spoon. So this is where we do our best impressions of our least favorite part of the episode. So if you have something ready, as a guest, I'll let you go first. If you don't, I can go first if you'd like.
I got it. Hopefully I can do this well. Okay.
All right.
It's the most wonderful time. It's the most wonderful time. May your days be merry. What just happened? Like, you can't hear the music behind me as the orchestra just radically just downgrades the tempo.
There's like no transitions at all.
It's like... Oh, you flooded it.
Yeah, it's, they could have been a little bit better on their transitions there.
It just seems so, like either tempo up White Christmas or tempo down Most Wonderful Time of the Year, but don't make it like ramp up and then ramp back down.
Well, that was good. That was good. So mine is also a singing bit. And the only reason I picked this is because as a kid, because, you know, we were children when this came out, I would have hated this gift. So here it is. See, loves what you're getting for Christmas. That's what you're getting from me. It's like, no, that's all. Come on, man. You're a millionaire. You know you are.
You got William's money.
That's right. You got that Christmas, that Christmas money. Oh, man. But it, you know, I do have to ask. So G.I. Joe taught us that knowing is half the battle. What do you think the other half is?
I think the other half is the part that wasn't uploaded to YouTube. I was like, never have I had a better answer to this question on your show.
That's
I literally only got half the battle.
Yeah, if knowing's half the battle, the other half is not cutting out chunks of plot out of your recordings. Oh, man.
Why isn't this on Peacock? What are you doing, Peacock? That's the NBC streaming service. Come on, man.
That's right, because most of these are like originals. I mean, the only one really is like White Christmas and, I guess Do You Hear What I Hear? So yeah. I guess there's a few rights issues for that.
But yeah, that's probably what it is.
NBC, get it worked out. I want like Blu-ray or what is it? What's the new thing? 4K Ultra quality. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you got that Comcast money, just, you know, shell it out and get it on there.
For real.
I can only watch Fast and Furious so many times before you give me some new content, man. Come on, Peacock.
Family.
Hey, welcome to the Olive Garden when you hear your family.
Someone needed to teach Andy Williams about family. proper parental consent. Tim, it's been a blast talking with this this crazy, crazy special with you. But tell me about your show, man, or what else you want to plug?
Oh, well, that's pretty much it. Oh, wait. When does this drop?
So this will drop a week from Monday.
Okay. So if you happen to be in the Bay Area of California, I will be doing comedy in Berkeley on June 9th and Oakland, California on June 10th. You can find those dates on my website, cantwaitforchristmas.com/Tim. That's just my little section of the overall podcast site. But of course, the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast comes out the 25th of every month. I am actually recording an interview for this month's show tomorrow. So hopefully that goes well. Or if you tune in and there's not an interview on the show, it means it did not go well. Or, you know, by that I mean technical issues, not any problems with the person. The person seems lovely. I've reworked the intro from a show called Mousetalgia that used to be a Disneyland focused Disney show. And their intro used to be like a show about Disneyland, Disney World, and everything else Disney. And I now say that the Cramp for Christmas podcast is a podcast about Christmas traditions, Christmas history, Christmas movies, and everything else Christmas.
Right on. And where can they find you?
Can't Wait for ChristmasPod.com or on Twitter, we are Christmas Pod. On Instagram, we are Can't Wait for Christmas Pod. Facebook, Can't Wait for Christmas Pod. And TikTok, Can't Wait for Christmas Pod / He's Too Old to Be on TikTok.
I haven't gotten on that bandwagon yet.
I mean, I enjoy it, but I'm like, this is clearly like, this is a young man's game. And I'm just watching. I'm like, you go TikTok, you do what you do. But yeah, please listen to my podcast.
That's kind of where I am right now. Definitely listen. It's so much fun. He had this amazing story that he did. Was it last season or the season before? I don't even remember. Time is crazy.
It was 2020. I remember because it was during the lockdown. So like it was a story I wrote where, you know, the debate constantly about whether or not Die Hard is a Christmas movie. So I decided to rewrite Die Hard or a Die Hard style movie or a Die Hard style plot in the vein of a Hallmark Christmas movie. So I'm like, now this is definitely a Christmas movie. And then I asked my listeners, like, who wants to do the voices? And so, again, because it was lockdown, everybody had time to send me voices. And like,
yep.
My wife actually played the main character, and it was a ton of fun. Like, it was a lot of work, but it was a ton of fun. I really enjoyed it. And I, you know, got to know a lot of my listeners really well in terms of like, hey, can you do this again? You know, just, you know, give it a little more of this or that or whatever. And it was just, it was a lot of, I mean, I will never complain about how Hallmark movies are written ever again, because it was way harder to write one of those things than you think it is.
Yeah. And it's always one of those things I kept saying to my brothers, like, hey, we should sit down and write one of these. Like, we can do it. But every time we try, we're like, okay, what's our idea? How are we going to do this? And we never get anywhere. So I get
it. Even if it's like, okay, I know where point A is, and I know where point Z is, and I know I have, you know, X amount of commercial breaks to do in between. So I'm like, what do I have them do? Like, cause I can't let them get to point Z, you know, like halfway through the movie. Cause then what else are they gonna do for the rest of the movie? But right. Like, what obstacles am I going to put in their way, and how am I going to have them overcome those obstacles in a way that will still let them get to point Z? Like, I was like, this is harder than it looks. And I can only imagine, like, because at least my point Z was like stopping a building from exploding. Whereas Hallmark, it's just like, and then they fall in love. Like, how many obstacles can you put in between that? So kudos to all those writers. Like, I've met some of them at Christmas Con, and they're all very nice people. The ones I met, I assume most of them are very nice people, but like, I didn't realize how hard they must have to work.
Yeah, because it's got to be like familiar but new at
exactly.
The same time. That's how do you do that? Yeah. But yeah, it was definitely, check out a show. So much fun. The episode on the Magi was really cool as well. It's one of my favorites.
That was a fun one.
Yeah, you introduced that those games as well, like the game show.
I sometimes I forget I've done something. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna reuse this, and then I forget I've done it.
Yeah, so definitely check it out. Can't wait for Christmas, Tim. Thank you so much again. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you, A, for having me. B, for picking this specific special to have me on. I was like, oh, he knows I like Andy Williams. This is a good show. Oh, he picked a winner.
Well, it didn't help. You didn't see like half of it.
Still enjoyed myself.
And on that note, I'm going to end it by saying, may the feelings of goodwill and peace be a part of your life every day of the year. May your Christmas wish come true. May each day of the week be a good day, and may you check us out on our social media pages, Facebook and Instagram at Totally Rad Christmas, Twitter at Rad Christmas, or our Facebook group, Totally Rad Christmas Mall and Arcade, where you can make your voice known to us as well. We post anything and everything 80s or Christmas related. And if you're feeling like Andy Williams, finally meeting Santa, leave us a review on iTunes. It helps us reach more people and spread some rad holiday cheer. Now, don't forget to check out our merch shop on tpublic.com with some brand new designs, and our super dope website, totallyradchristmas.com, courtesy of Tis the Podcast Elf, Tom Crow. Merry Christmas, everybody, and good night. Later, dudes.
Oh, hello there. I didn't see you come in, which is odd because I set up this microphone just to record. I'm Tim Babb from the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast, and I'd like to invite you to join us every month as we talk about the traditions, the music, the movies, the food, and the fun of the merriest holiday on Earth. Plus, you'll help us answer some questions like, what is the greatest version of Jingle Bells?
Bing Crosby.
Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yes.
What is the best Christmas food?
Well, everybody knows that one.
Hey, imaginary listener, it sounds kind of like Kermit the Frog. Can you be quiet? If you give away all the answers, they're not going to listen to the show.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Anyway, that's the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast. New episodes on the 25th of every month, wherever you get your podcasts, or at can'twaitforchristmaspod.com.